You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Why can't we just be enemies? Lace our conversations with obscenities.
Is it possible that the whole divided America, Tea Party gridlock, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, bipolar madness of American politics began with this TV moment back during the campaign of 1968? And the two people speaking here weren't even candidates?
I assume that the point of the American democracy is you can express any point of view you want. Shut up a minute.
No, I won't. And some people were pro-Nazi, and the answer is that they were well-treated by people who ostracized them, and I'm for ostracizing people who egg on other people to shoot American Marines and American soldiers. I know you don't care.
As far as I'm concerned, the only sort of pro- or crypto-Nazi I can think of is yourself. Failing that, I would only say that we can't have...
Now listen, you queer. Stop calling me a crypto-Nazi.
Let's stop calling names.
I'll slap you in your goddamn face.
When Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley were asked to spar in a series of debates on live ABC television, viewers got to see their intellects, their rhetorical flourishes, but they also saw a template of how politics could be covered, something that cable news took up, minus the intellect and the flourishes, decades later. The Best of Enemies is a new film that tells the story of the Vidal-Buckley debates and of the lifetime rivalry between the two political thinkers. The film is directed by Morgan Neville and Robert Gordon, who explained that it wasn't until they saw the full debates that they understood how much of a turning point these debates represented for media and politics in America.
It started because we came across a bootleg copy of these raw debates, and they were incredible theater with these two incredible characters who we knew. But for us, the real revelation about making the film was understanding just how significant this was in kind of media history in America. I mean, that was something that was one of those happy surprises.
And also, it seems to me it's a story about the power of unintended consequences. Nobody who got into this project expected in any way how it was going to turn out. I mean, I think Gore, Vidal, William F. Buckley, and ABC, I think, had no idea where this was going to go. Here's Linda Bridges, who's Buckley's personal assistant.
When the people at ABC had first approached Bill, they had asked him, would he be willing to be the conservative debater commentator with the national conventions? And he said, yes, he would. And they asked him, well, is there anybody you wouldn't go on with? And he said, well, I would refuse to go on with a communist. And apart from that, the only one I can think of is Gore Vidal.
That's just so completely priceless. I mean, did he get hoodwinked here?
Not hoodwinked, because he found out about it beforehand, and I don't think he was happy about it. And Vidal and Buckley had a somewhat of a history going back years before. But I think the allure of having a national primetime audience for 10 nights in 1968 was just too great for Buckley or Vidal to turn down.
And because of the earlier encounters that you described, this had the quality of a kind of Mayweather-Pacquiao debate, in the sense that these were the two heavyweights, and they weren't gonna fail to show up on this one. Here's Matt Turnauer, who's a friend of Gore Vidal. It seems like Gore Vidal, if anyone, was loaded for bear.
Remember, Gore Vidal was always an iconoclast, an apostate, a writer against the grain. And he saw Buckley and his ideas as anti-democratic. If Buckley were not taken out, his ideas would take down the nation.
Do you think Vidal wanted to take out William F. Buckley, Jr.?
I think they each wanted to take out the other. And I think that they each saw the other as dangerous and corrosive for the nation. What was at stake for them here was the future of the country.
I will say, I went through Gore's papers at Harvard, and in one of the files, I found the papers he had on his lap during the debates and included several pages of scripted insults. So, you know, talk about Gore
so
coming
fantastic.
In to play. You know, yeah. he had done massive amounts of opposition research on Buckley and the National Review, going through years of back issues just to pepper Buckley with information and insult and invective from the beginning.
One of the things you conclude here, and you make a very persuasive case, is that this was the beginning of a kind of conservative epiphany, which said, hey, we can talk, we can be on the national stage, we don't have to, you know, be in the background anymore. And that from that came Ronald Reagan and so much of what we see today in conservative media. Here's Sam Tannenhaus, who's the author of The Death of Conservatism.
Bill Buckley was the first modern conservative intellectual to see that ideological debates were cultural debates. And what he did was to put conservatism on the march. And that's the creation of the movement we have today.
I would agree with you that he marks the beginning of this march of conservatism. But I would say it's the death of the intellectual tradition in American television. I mean, you don't get anything like this level of intensity or sophisticated argument.
We've gone from, I mean, here you have like a forest fire that raged, that was burning old wood. And these guys were given 15 minutes each night, uninterrupted, you know, which is in and of itself fascinating, as compared to the shows like now where it's, you know, 4 minutes and the forest fire has become flash paper. There's no content. You get the big boom and then you cut to a commercial and do it all again.
Well, it's one of those, you know, fireplaces with the lights that throw around. It's not even real. It's not even a fire.
What I think is so interesting is that, you know, Vidal and Buckley both represented opposing political points of view, but there was kind of a personal battle going on between the two of them too. There was something about the other that they found personally dangerous, because Buckley had a TV show for 33 years, Firing Line, and he interviewed people on the other end of the political spectrum all the time, but he never had an exchange like this.
Crypto fascist, crypto Nazi. There was also a question of being straight or gay. That was sort of the background of this as well. This intensity, I think, of who's what in this kind of Ivy League battle of titans here.
Exactly. I think that they each kind of fear this dark funhouse mirror. Like, oh no, I don't want the public to think I'm like that guy. I sound kind of like him. I have the same airs. I want to be very different. And I think it was that they were both on this very high plane that most others who they dealt with were not on. They were equally matched, you know.
The other irony here is that both of them were real critics of their parties. Gore Vidal didn't have much sympathy for the Democratic Party, and William F. Buckley had very little sympathy for the Republican Party circa mid-1960s.
Yeah, I mean, Gore was running around the Chicago Convention when he wasn't on television trying to start another party with Paul Newman and Arthur Miller. So that's one thing that I think is so refreshing about seeing these two guys, is they were completely individual thinkers.
Who won?
The fact that Buckley never wanted to speak about the debate, and Vidal was a name he never wanted to utter for the rest of his life. And Vidal never missed an opportunity to bring up Buckley and how he had vanquished him in these debates. So,
and he outlived the bastard, as they say, right?
Just so he could have the last word.
Yeah,
exactly. Morgan Neville and Robert Gordon are co-directors of The Best of Enemies, about the Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley debates in 1968. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
The Best of Enemies is in theaters this Friday.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.